Brought to you by Fratelloni's Ace Hardware Stores.
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with rookie on production, Chris Reavers, director of social media, John Hyde in the newsroom, and occasionally Kenny from the Krabby Coffee Shop. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
Sad news. Sourdough has responded to our fans who have grown to love Sourdough as we have over the years, from his appearances live on our stage at the State Fair. Just a hell of a guy. Real name Rick Crowder. Remember, I was always accused him of coming out of the San Francisco hippie music scene. I was convinced he was a member of Moby Grape for some reason, and he's not. He just has carved out this career for himself as the what we call him, John, a cowboy minstrel.
Yeah, singing cowboy. Sure.
Singing cowboy and a great yodeler and just a wonderful guy. And the other thing I noted about him at the State Fair, remember he always had his own. He's like me. He had a packed lunch.
Yes.
He'd sit in the green room and eat a peanut butter sandwich.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Well, we're back in touch. And his opening line is, "Oh, Joe!" exclamation point. And if you know Sourdough, like we know him, you can imagine that that's written plaintively.
Yes.
Oh, Joe.
Yep.
When I reviewed the song I wrote last night, I reviewed it this morning, I find that it falls short of the message. This whole thing is just so overwhelming. I am sure the right words will come, but it will take some time. We are one of the 10% whose home was spared, and yet the devastation all around just leaves you numb. I was able to get in the closed zone where we live when it was open to residents for a short time on Sunday, and I got in by mistake. It is closed now, and if I leave, I won't be able to get back in. I am living at my home right now without any water, utilities, or services of any kind. The only one doing so in my neighborhood. I am able to get a few supplies like gas, food, and water by meeting my wife at the checkpoint manned by the National Guard. We just take it day by day and hope for the best. It occurred to me that I can text and send emails, but the cell service is too weak to phone, so a call-in won't work right now. I'm sorry to say, Sourdough. And I wrote back, okay, we will stay in touch. Best of luck. So we'll get this song eventually. But
wow.
I can't wait till we at last get to talk to him.
Without water, without utilities.
And apparently he has to go meet the missus at the Checkpoint Charlie so she can slip him some jerry cans of gas and some loaves of bread or whatever. Good Lord. Well, good luck, Sourdough. We're rooting for you.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
A complaint about an ethnic slur offensive to Japanese Americans has prompted the state of Kansas to recall hundreds of license plates containing the random letter combination JAP. The issue arose in October 2017 when Keith Kawamoto, 70, saw a Kansas license plate near his Los Angeles home and took a photo of it. Kawamoto then wrote several letters to Kansas officials, including Governor Jeff Coyler. Collier, I'm sorry. I let them know it is considered a very derogatory racial slur, and I don't think it should be allowed anywhere, Kawamoto said. Kansas Motor Vehicle Division apologized, but Kawamoto wanted Kansas to get all plates containing the three-letter combination recalled. The Pacific Citizen, the newspaper of the Japanese American Citizens League, first published Kawamoto's photo of the Kansas plate. When Barbara Johnson, a 67-year-old Japanese-American woman living in Abilene, Kansas, saw the story in the Pacific Citizen, she said it brought back memories of her childhood. It was not a good time to be a Japanese because of Pearl Harbor and World War II, Johnson said. I recall vividly as a child being called Jap and how it made me feel so small and hurt. Johnson conceded the Kansas officials probably did not know what it means anymore because it was World War II a couple of generations ago. With their husband, Rick, the Kansas couple set out to do what Kawamoto had not, get the plates recalled and off the road. Rachel Witten, a spokeswoman for the Kansas Department of Revenue, said the issue came before the department's review board, which made the decision last month to pull any current license plates with the lettering and prevent its use in future plates. It was very gratifying to know there is someone in government that was willing to hear our side of the story and to recognize it and to proactively act on it as quickly as it did. Rick Johnson said. The Kansas Department of Revenue said there are 731 active registrations containing that random letter combination on standard license plates. Vehicle owners were sent a letter dated Tuesday asking them to return the plate to their county vehicle office within 30 days for a replacement at no cost.
Huh.
I accept the explanation that these letters are assigned randomly.
Yes.
And that no one in the license bureau was purposely coming up with Jap.
Right, they would be randomly selected, of course. But I am surprised, though, that they wouldn't be in a system to stop. You know, it would be a filter that would stop those from going out. I think they would have that technology.
A university in Michigan is taking a novel approach to the threat of school shooters, outfitting its faculty with hockey pucks to throw in order to protect against potential mass murderers armed with firearms.
Yeah.
The weaponized pucks at Oakland University are a last resort precaution to throw at any active shooters on campus, the Detroit News reports. According to the university's police chief, the program stemmed from an idea raised during an active shooter training session in which one attendee asked the staff what they should do. So they're going to throw hockey pucks.
They give them some sticks and they can work on their wrist shot. Is that being useful? Is that being what? I want you to decide.
Well, first of all, it makes the presumption that whoever would throw the puck is a good enough thrower.
I'm picturing
to have it actually accomplish anything.
Who was the gal that took on Barbara Bush? The big gal from
forget her name.
Was it Fresno State?
Yep.
I don't like her chances of successfully throwing a hockey puck.
No,
and hitting someone.
I don't either.
What would be the theory? You'd be pelting that person so much so that they wouldn't be able to.
Well, but I think it's kind of tough to throw a hockey puck at a guy if you're getting shot at.
Yeah, you got to be out there, and you're only going to upset that gunman to maybe do more damage. I don't know.
Well, it's the failed academy. They're not going to respond in kind. They're going to come up with this nonsense. It's the failed academy. It's failing before our eyes everywhere we look. And we're entering the season now when I'm going to be judicious in talking about which complaints I bring to the show, but we're in the season now of people getting pestered about their various Christmas beliefs, for example.
Uh-huh.
And there are so many of them, we'll only choose the ones that are most odious. How's that?
I will rely on your wisdom to see which ones you should
I wouldn't
do.
Go that far. No, we all missed really. We all missed how long it took to fly to Mars.
That's true.
An Idaho family harassed for putting out an annual Christmas program that featured a nativity scene, Santa Claus, and a camel has been awarded $75,000 by a jury and plans to use the money to move to a less hostile neighborhood. Jeremy and Christy Morris allege in a lawsuit filed last year that the West Hayden Estates Homeowners Association unlawfully discriminated against the family based on their religion. Jeremy Morris told the Daily News on Tuesday that freedom to worship and right to property are two of the most treasured protections that a person could have. Somehow, our homeowners association managed to violate both of those rights, he told the news. All right. The trouble started in 2015. When the family moved into the area and announced it would be continuing a tradition that was started the year before at a different home. Morris notes in a letter to the board that the Christmas program, which lasts 5 days, would not disrupt the neighborhood and would include exterior lights, free hot chocolate, a cotton candy machine, caroling, a wise man, and a docile camel named Dolly. Boy, they go all out, don't they?
Yeah, right.
Doesn't sound like they have a theme problem, though, does it? The goal was not to get permission for something that I could already do, he wrote. Rather, I was proactively reaching out to minimize any impact to neighbors in the subdivision. The lawsuit states that the purpose of the program at their Hayden home was to spread the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ to the community by raising funds for two local charities that aid children suffering from homelessness or cancer.
Oh.
Neighbors expressed concern over the nature of the program. A letter sent by the Homeowners Association to Jeremy Morris in 2015 indicated that I am somewhat hesitant in bringing up the fact that some of our residents are non-Christians or of another faith, and I don't even want to think of the problems that could bring up. Bleep them. It's this guy's property, isn't it?
Right.
At one point, the Morris family received a letter from a homeowners association lawyer stating that the program will be offensive to the census.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Really? Really? At one point, the Morris family, okay. A jury favored the Morris family following a two-week federal trial that ended in late October. The 85-year-old Santa, who Morris says is star of the program, testified during the trial. He insists he is Santa Claus, Morris said. His mother passed away from cancer, and that's how he was drawn to our program. Morris wonders how anyone could oppose the program, especially considering the money that it raised for charity. I don't think there could be anything more despicable than a group of people, a group of elitists, who would put their own bigoted, prejudiced views ahead of the suffering and infirmities of children. Wow. I have to agree with the guy. He said there were complaints about the house's Christmas lights. Other homes may have Christmas lights on for 5 to 6 hours a day for a month. We only had them on for 10 hours for the entire year, he said. He said there were shuttles that escorted people to and from his home and that the program did not create any traffic issues for the area. He said there were about 150 to 200 people on the property at any given time and emphasized they did not cause disruptions for the street or the neighborhood.
Remember that one guy we had on that was upset that people were taking advantage of his display?
Maple Grove. Right.
Yeah, wherever. I don't remember where it was.
He created an extravagant little light display for Christmas and then became angry that people were stopping to see it.
Limos and shuttle buses for free.
Yeah. What was that guy's name?
Was it Lou?
I think it was Lou something.
I don't remember. I remember that he called.
He hasn't called back since, has he?
Well, did he have a change of heart?
It's tough to know.
I don't know.
I know he called in several times.
You know what? I think he did. I think he came
to
his senses.
I'll have to dig that one up.
Because we really had to work on him to get him to see the improbability of his failed logic. It was just...
Well, I remember when
why did you put the lights up then? He said it was for my own kid.
I think he lost his wife and he did this in her memory. But he did such an elaborate display that it caught on.
And then he got angry because it caught on.
Right. That's why he called in. He said, Joe, I people shouldn't be able to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now this story that you have, neighbors are mad that they're putting this up.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we got a lot of people out there that...
The program went on as scheduled in both 2015 and 2016, but not without threats and constant harassment, according to the lawsuit. Attempts to interfere with the festivities included a videotaped death threat by a neighbor and coordinated efforts calling sheriff's deputies numerous times for legally parked vehicles on public side streets. A threat was posted to the show's event page, suggesting that Morris should stock up on guns at a local gun show, according to the lawsuit.
Wow, that's pretty serious.
Boy, some bad neighbors, huh?
Yeah.
They're going to use the dough and move to a neighborhood where they can continue the show.
That is just unbelievable. I suppose there's all kinds, and those ain't no garage logicians, are they?
I got to stay on the sensitivity issues.
What do you got, big guy?
I said it's the time of the year we're going to run into a lot of it, but I'm only selecting the ones that GLers might find most interesting. A Dorchester, Massachusetts Historical Society has apologized for what some people apparently perceive to be a racially insensitive mailer. Hmm. The card, which invited residents to the Dorchester Historical Society annual holiday open house, was called "We're Dreaming of a White Dorchester," as in the song White Christmas, as in snow.
Got it right away. I picked that up.
A spokesperson for the society said the organization had no desire to leave others out with their invitation after receiving criticism on social media. Social media, in this case, again, proving to be the death of us.
I understand what they were doing there.
Why don't you push back, a historical society? Why don't you say, what kind of stupid people are you? Have you ever heard the song, "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas"? That's all we're referring to here.
Can we sing White Christmas anymore?
One user tweet read, it looks like some people, I can't even read this tweet because it's so illiterate. Another chimed in and added, probably just goes to show you don't have any minorities on your board or communications team. Might be time to start incorporating some diversity in your team since they would have noticed this insensitivity. There's nothing insensitivity.
Nothing insensitive about it. Are they banning blacks from Dorchester?
No.
Okay, then done.
Then what are we to do with snow? Can it be called white?
Ooh. Well, for the time being, but that's probably in...
Another user even said the people at the society, every last one of them to be exact, should have lost their jobs.
No.
These are the anonymous social justice warriors who are intent on bringing down this country. I'm convinced of it. Wow. They have no moral authority for these positions. This is just power washing. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. That's racist now. Because the word doesn't mean anything anymore. Doesn't mean a damn thing when you have these mouth breathers out there on their tweets.
I'm dreaming of a white Dorchester.
Let me play devil's advocate.
Here we go.
I don't want you to because you're going to be wrong.
I know I will be wrong.
El Diablo.
But do you have, if you're the Dorchester
Historical Society,
do you have to take into account that very thing, though, just because it is 2018?
No, not at all.
You shouldn't have to.
Not at all. Unless you want to go back through history and eliminate, you know, Bing Crosby songs.
I agree. I don't think it is insensitive. I'm just saying if you're in that position in 2018.
Well, that's where we're headed. Sure. And so, years from now, you're not going to be able to say I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. I don't care who you are. You won't be able to think it privately or as an entity or as a historical society or as a school. And all it means is pretty. I'm dreaming of a pretty Christmas. I'm dreaming of a charming Christmas. Has nothing to do with race.
The Dorchester gazebo with the snow lightly falling.
Yep. Not one person in your office raised their hand, and there is spelled T-H-E-R-E, and spoke up. They should all be fired. These users are anonymous people. Why does the Historical Society not push back and instruct these people? You're crazy. This has nothing to do with race.
And push back with, you know what we were getting at, and don't try to misread it.
But here's what the society did. They issued a statement. We are very truly sorry about our graphic used for this event. This was an unfortunate oversight on our part, and the event photograph has been removed from our social media. We were simply changing the words to the classic Christmas carol and did not think it through properly. You don't have to think it through. Your intentions were not foul. This is pathetic. This is absolutely pathetic. That people, you know what the pathetic part is? They're not pushing back.
They're rolling over.
Where is somebody in that historical society to say, are you people out of your mind? The tweet continued, thank you for alerting us to this matter, as we certainly do not want to project that message, even if completely accidentally. Again, thank you. The newly revamped online invitation reads, may your Dorchester days be merry and bright. Well, that could offend blind people.
Right.
Or dumb people. Bobby.
Or people suffering from depression.
Or those that aren't the
brightest. And don't think they'll get tweets like that. The world's crazy. These anonymous mouth breathers in the basement are nuts. They're just flat out nuts. There's no other way to look at it. And they lead sad lives. They lead very sad lives. This is what they do. They look for this BS. It's not.
It's too many fun things to do in life than troll Twitter or find somebody that's written something like this and make a play on it.
Even Boston Mayor Marty Walsh weighed in on the ordeal and said that he believed good people made a big mistake. They certainly didn't mean anything mean or vicious or racist about it, Walsh said. Well, then they didn't make a mistake.
Right. He just plain simple.
But he's grandstanding. He's playing to his constituents, the mayor of Boston.
Come on, Marty.
Marty.
I felt really bad when I saw it last night. Well, you felt bad because it had been power washed. This is power washing. Had you seen this invitation? Just a minute. I'm looking at it here. We're dreaming of a white Christmas. It would not have occurred to me that they were intending to exclude anybody. It's been power washed now by the great Greek chorus of the unwashed in this country who have cell phones. It's been power washed. Okay. That song can never be played again. Who did it? John Bing Crosby?
Yeah, Bing Crosby.
You can't play that song anymore. It's been power washed to mean something that never was intended to be meant. Remember the other song that got power washed by the young musicians in the Twin Cities? Mm-hmm. Baby, it's cold outside.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's date rape. They power washed it.
Irving Berlin wrote it.
I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas.
Composed it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. Baby, it's cold. I can't go outside.
Oh, it's all about rape. That's all about date rape.
Oh.
What did you, what was put in the drink? What did you put in this drink?
Oh,
that's playfulness.
Yeah,
that's cheerfulness. We're in a sorry state, aren't we? But the center did hold for a bit for the funeral for the Vietnam vet in Omaha. Yeah.
We got a little pushback.
Let's bring back John Haidt.
Joe Soucheray here for Federated Insurance. I'm not a math guy, but there's some numbers you need to know. 2,440,000 injured and 35,092 dead on our nation's highways. Those are National Safety Council numbers from 2015. Federated Insurance reminds us that these are much more than statistics. These are family members, friends, and neighbors. Distracted driving continues to be an epidemic, but unfortunately, it's not the only factor. It could happen like this. A driver passes the same vehicle several times with frustration. Mounting, the driver passes the vehicle again but loses control while trying to change lanes. The vehicle rolls several times, killing the driver, two other passengers, and injuring three others. Ask yourself, do you get anxious when you drive? Do you yell or honk at other drivers that make you angry? Do you retaliate to get even? The National Safety Council reports that aggressive driving plays a role in 56% of fatal crashes. Don't become a statistic. At Federated Mutual Insurance Company, it's their business to protect yours. Please make it home safely today.
Thank you for calling Euphoria's Hanurama Kwansmas Hotline. This all-inclusive holiday info line will help you determine which holidays are appropriate for you. Please choose a number from the following options or say the word. For information on Hanukkah, press 1. For Ramadan, press 2. For Kwanzaa, press 3. For Christmas, press 4.
Let's see. Euphoria, I need Christmas information.
You have chosen Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa is not just for African Americans anymore. Kwanzaa is a fairly new holiday. Kwanzaa means fruit in Swahili. You may celebrate Kwanzaa regardless of your cultural history. If you know an African American, are of African American descent, or would secretly like to be an African American, please join the Kwanzaa celebration. Kwanzaa is fun to say and may be celebrated any way you like.
Christmas. What is with these people? Bing Crosby, snow, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I want the Christmas.
You have chosen Hanukkah. You'll know that you should celebrate Hanukkah if you know the meanings of the word dreidel and menorah. If you're a member of Jews for Jesus, Hanukkah may not be appropriate for you. Hanukkah is over 2,300 years old. Happy Hanukkah.
Christmas. It's a fact.
You have pressed an incorrect number.
Christmas! I want information on Christmas!
You have pressed an incorrect number. We're sorry you're having trouble. Please say the word or press the number for the holiday of choice.
Christmas!
Thank you for calling the Hanurama Kwansmas Hotline. Happy holidays. Goodbye.
Reality with a bite. The Joe Soucheray Show.
Here's John Haidt.
Thank you, Joe. A year-long examination of the ethnic makeup of employees within the Minneapolis School District was released Tuesday. District leaders shared it with the public at a meeting. The report, Human Resources Equity and Diversity Impact Assessment, revealed that teachers of color are in short supply at the state's third-largest school district. Minneapolis Public Schools have 5,300 employees district-wide. A third of them are of color. When one looks at the roster of teachers, though, diversity drops down to 17%. The EDIA study confirmed the Minneapolis School District has a predominantly white workforce. During interviews and surveys, teachers of color describe difficult working conditions and
cultural insensitivity. They said negative interactions happen daily. They say they feel isolated and not supported, and they believe they are put in tough positions or schools based on race. As for hiring challenges, teachers of color indicated the district took a passive approach and relied on career fairs or websites, which showed little commitment to real diversity because a minority candidate pool wasn't targeted.
So are they saying that they feel as if they're being sent to the North Minneapolis schools because they're African-American teachers?
I didn't get that out of it.
But, okay. Because I was going to say, if you're a high school student and you have if you're an African American student and you have an African American teacher, there would immediately be a connection, and that would, you would think, would inspire the student to do well.
What's the number supposed to be?
It's a good question.
Mm-hmm. They're at 33% diverse. What do they want? 50%? Then that's the failure of the hiring people.
Actually, if you were listening, it was 17% of the teachers. I just want to clarify that.
33%, and then of the employees went down to
17% of teachers.
Oh, yeah.
It was like at the beginning of the story.
Yeah, it was right at the beginning.
I missed the beginnings of stories, apparently.
Maggie Sullivan, by the way, is the chief of human resources for the school district, shared in the announcement and said, quote, "We are looking at hiring additional recruiting coordinators. One is in the system now, but hopefully that'll help us deeply engage authentically and support a job candidate's experience."
That's right. It just needs more money. That's the problem. Just hire some more people.
Engage authentically.
You got to as opposed to inauthentically.
Exactly. Yeah. Authorities who were looking for a man who escaped from the Hennepin County Adult Detention Center Wednesday morning found him in Little Canada.
That's where I'd go if I left jail.
Hennepin County Sheriff's Office said 57-year-old Michael Frank Simon was charged and subsequently booked into the center on September 25th for felony-level financial transaction card fraud and burglary.
What was he at, like Topper's Pizza? What was he doing in Little Canada?
He thought it was Big Canada.
Ah.
The sheriff's office reported Simon escaped from the center at about 7 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday. He was then located about 10 a.m. in Little Canada. Hennepin County Sheriff's Office, the U.S. Marshal Service, and local law enforcement assisted in Simon's capture. A spokesperson for the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office said this was the first ever escape from the facility in its history. Hmm. Mall of America today announcing something new for the Christmas season. A new 12,000-square-foot ice skating rink. It'll be called Skate the Star.
Where?
It'll open to the public December 8th. Thanks for asking, Chris. Located at the north entrance. The oval rink, first ever at the mall, will be built around the mall's star sculpture, using about 18,000 gallons of water.
I'm going to ask a dumb question.
Yeah.
Outside?
No.
The rink is going to be inside? Inside the Mall of America?
I would think it would be outside.
Well, where's the sculpture? I don't spend enough time.
I don't go to the mall, so I don't know.
I drove by.
Space outside. They used to have the
north
those
entrance.
The ice castles there?
Yeah. Did they?
And well, there was room, so they
I'm
have,
sorry I asked because America. It's something else we just
you
don't
you
going to
go
know.
For a skate?
No.
Kenny will skate by you going backwards.
Yeah. Speed skate.
Skate the Star will be free and open to the public during select mall hours. Guests can use their own skates or skate rentals will be available for $5 with 100% of skate rental proceeds going to a good cause, Boys and Girls Clubs of the Twin Cities.
Because the north entrance is the entrance that faces IKEA, which is a big parking lot. I would assume that's where it's going.
Is there a big star sculpture outside there?
Let's just move on.
Let's wildly speculate.
I don't care what the hell they do.
Outgoing.
There we go. Right there. Rook's got an image.
Rook's got a,
outdoors.
He's got a picture. Yeah.
Outdoors. It is
outdoors. Well, it's unlikely they created a refrigerated rink inside the mall.
Outdoors. Yeah, that'd be very
that
costly.
That would be pricey. Yeah.
The artist conception's very pretty.
Yes. So,
looks good. Outgoing Arizona GOP Senator Jeff Flake joined with several Democrats on Wednesday in a failed attempt to force a vote on legislation to protect Special Counsel Robert Mueller from removal or political pressure. Flake, along with Delaware Democratic Senator Chris Coons and New Jersey Democratic Senator Cory Booker, tried to use a parliamentary maneuver to pave the way for a vote on the Special Counsel Independence and Integrity Act. Flake asked for unanimous consent to vote on the bill, but Utah Senator Mike Lee objected, blocking the effort. The three lawmakers expressed concern over comments made by President Trump, who's called the Mueller probe a phony witch hunt, as well as Trump's ousting of Attorney General Jeff Sessions. The Special Counsel Independence and Integrity Act mandates Special counsel can only be fired for good cause by a senior Justice Department official. Some Republicans counter the bill as unnecessary. During Tuesday's briefing, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders denied that the president is even thinking about firing Mueller. President caused some controversy on Twitter this morning. He's since taken the tweet down, but he retweeted a mocked-up image of a range of people the president considers enemies. Those people were all behind bars, including the fellow who right now is the U.S. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. The tweet, which was posted by an account called the Trump Train, then retweeted by the president, also includes others like Barack Obama, Bill and Hillary Clinton, Robert Mueller. Minutes later, the president posted on the social media platform attacking the mainstream media and Mueller's investigation. Brian Claus, an American political scientist, told The Independent the president's pushing for political rivals to be jailed was an escalation of what he calls his dangerously authoritarian behavior. As of late this morning, the tweet appeared to have been taken off the president's Twitter account. Plenty of people, though, had captured it and kept putting it up on their Twitter accounts. Jesse Ventura is considering running against President Trump in 2020.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
And he's confident. He said, I haven't made a decision yet because it's a long time off, but if I do, rest assured, if I do it, Trump will not have a chance. Hmm. Ventura is now 67. He told this to TMZ on Tuesday. He said, for one thing, Trump knows wrestling. He's participated in two WrestleManias. He knows he can never out-talk a wrestler, and I'm the greatest talker wrestling's ever had. So if I go for it, he's history, and he knows it. As for the former Minnesota governor's platform, Jesse says, I'm big into cannabis legislation. I'm also big into alternative energy. We got to get away from fossil fuels. We got to go to the sun for energy. It's time, he said. He also said the Green Party has shown some interest. Ventura also pondering a return to the ring for WrestleMania, which is returning to Minneapolis in 2019.
Come on.
Flaunting his six-pack, the former WWE star boasted, I'm 220 pounds. I'm in fighting shape.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
I don't know how this is possible, but you better take line 10.
Yes.
Hey, Joe.
Yes, Jesse.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. Well, and not really. I don't want you to run for president, but...
Hey, you know, I don't listen to the podcast.
Right.
But I've been in the news today talking about a potential run.
Right.
And, you know, I just wanted to... I wanted to put it on your show, Garage Logic.
Right.
And I wanted everybody to know that I might be running with the Green Party.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, if you want me to come on the show, I might have to listen that day.
Well, we invited you about 2 or 3 weeks ago to celebrate the 20th anniversary of your election to the governor of Minnesota, and you refused us then.
Yeah, I know that. I would have done that for Rook. Is Rook there today?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm right here, Gov. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Rookie. I would have come on for you, but I would not have come on for Joe.
Well, then what are you calling me now for, then? Don't come on me. Don't come on my show now, then. You turned me down 3 weeks ago. You figure out some other arrangement with Rookie.
Do what now?
Figure out some other arrangement with Rookie.
All right. Yeah, but... again, I am running, and you might be, Hemp John might be my running mate.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, and so, if you know, when you want to talk to me, you use me, but I want to talk to you, and you don't use me.
I have no idea what that meant.
I don't know. All right, I got to run, but...
Yeah, goodbye.
Hey, I'm not listening to the podcast.
I'm sure you're not.
I'm
sure you're not. Yeah.
See you, Gov.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Huh. Don't listen, but you kept the number, I guess, huh?
Yeah, apparently. Al Gore will host a 24-hour broadcast special on climate change next month.
Good. Oh, good. I'm going to watch it.
It'll feature an array of celebrities and musical performances.
All of whom have private jets.
The former vice president on Tuesday announced the 8th annual 24 Hours of Reality, Protect Our Planet, Protect Ourselves. It'll be televised in more than 125 countries and streamed live online at 24hoursofreality.org. The special will include performances by Moby, the Goo Goo Dolls, mm-hmm. Sting and Shaggy, Jeff Goldblum, and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra, among
Jeff
others.
Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah, he plays piano. He's a really good jazz pianist.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, very good jazz pianist. as well as celebrity appearances by Jaden Smith, Bill Nye, Taya Leone, Claire Danes, and Cody Simpson.
Boy, it sounds like a B-list.
Taya Leone.
That's a B-list right there.
And her hits from 1994.
That is a B-list.
Taya Leone, she's an actress. She's got.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But she hasn't been around for a while, has she?
Yeah, no,
she's on a hit show right now.
Yeah, she plays the Secretary of State or Vice President.
She was hot when she was on that other show. Like
what about Yeezy and Beyonce? Are they going to be on? They have their own.
They're not,
they have their own 747. I love to be lectured by them.
They have their own 747?
747, yep.
The special is Monday, December 3rd. Let's see, our time it would air at 8 p.m., I believe.
I can't make it. I don't think I'll see it.
No, you'd have to sign up to 24 hours of reality.
I can't do that.
The bridge special is on.
Anything would be better than watching this fraud.
I would agree.
Yeah. A North Carolina man arrested after allegedly shooting his son after a Thanksgiving argument about NFL players kneeling during the national anthem.
Well, I think that's understandable.
He showed him.
51-year-old Jorge Lamarde of Cary was charged with a felony count of assault with a deadly weapon. Let's get rid of that.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute now. I would like to know what side he's on.
Well, maybe if we listen to the story, maybe we would learn that.
Police responded to a call about a gunshot and an argument taking place at the home, according to the local newspaper. Lamarde shot his son, 21-year-old Esteban Valencia, following an argument and physical incident during dinner. Esteban had been drinking, that's the son, had a physical altercation with several people inside the home, according to family members. He was asked to leave the home after his dad went for a shotgun, the newspaper reported, citing a search warrant. Family members said the son then went outside and started throwing patio furniture at the home.
Jesus.
He then threw a water bottle at the dad, Lamarde, which led to Lamarde firing at his son, hitting him in the hand and the leg.
If only the kid had some hockey pucks.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Or the family.
Right.
Valencia was taken to the hospital. Lamarde placed into custody. Dad told police he didn't mean to shoot his son. He said the family had sat down for dinner when he and Valencia and his other son, Felipe Valencia, got into an argument about kneeling during the national anthem.
Well, Brooke, I'm afraid Rook's right. We still don't know who's in favor of who.
And that's not in any part of the story.
Well, reporting isn't what he used to. Unless I already read it.
Yeah, check the first sentence.
Seriously, check the first sentence. You might have said it.
You also pasted a paragraph from a different story in the middle of that one.
Sounds like Dad wanted them to not kneel. That would be my guess.
That would be the assumption, don't you think?
Yeah.
Just because, you know. Yeah,
and the younger kind of generation thing. Is saying, go ahead and kneel.
I think that's probably a good bet. Lamarde said he squeezed the shotgun's trigger as soon as the water bottle hit him. He said at that point he just waited for police to get there. He was released after posting $50,000 bond.
Cary is right near Raleigh in that area, in the triangle there. Okay. Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, somewhere in there is Cary, I believe.
Wisconsin-based Quick Trip is recalling some parfaits because they may contain undeclared traces of cashews or almonds. Quick Trip said Tuesday the convenience store chain is recalling Kitchen Craving strawberry and mixed berry parfaits in an 8.25-ounce cup. This is because
you well-stocked with those, or
no,
what do you got?
Never had one.
It says some consumers, of course, are allergic to cashews or almonds, and they may risk allergic reactions.
Oh, okay, because didn't they have a problem with their veggie trays a couple months ago?
I don't know. Yeah, I think you're right.
I love Quick Trip.
Quick Trip is a great place to go. Yeah.
No, this is just because of peanut allergies. And it's not listed on the parfait itself. So far, no problems have been.
Ooh, a parfait with some cashew? Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't like the cashew in the parfait?
I'm not a parfait guy.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know what it is. It's in an ice cream shake?
Yeah.
It's like a, doesn't Dairy Queen have the
big time.
Peanut Buster parfait?
Yeah. It's real good.
But
how about we head over there? Let's go to Quick Trip and get us some parfaits, Joe.
DQ.
Huh?
Well, good luck, Sourdough Slim, wherever you are.
Yeah. Hopefully he can get us via the internet and listen to the podcast and calm himself down. And if he wants to see some of Greg Holcomb's wonderful artwork, go to GarageLogic.com and click on features.
In fact, he has a brand new one today relating to Thin Ice. I'm sorry I didn't mention it earlier, but it's very funny on the GarageLogic.com page.
Don't forget to rate us on Apple, iTunes, and tell your friends and neighbors that they're just one click away from more audio magic with the Garage Logic gang. Catch you next time. Thank you.